Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And for the next hour, we will be joined by Teresa Walker from the Associated Press, a legend here on the program. Teresa, how are you?
I'm good, Robbie. How are you, Joe? I tell you, I don't know how you guys do this on such a regular basis. Just being here by 8 was tough.
We do it with... with this, a lot of this.
A little coffee?
That's coffee.
It's coffee.
It's just coffee. It's just coffee as far as we know.
I don't think we've ever done an independent study to determine exactly what it is in there.
That's true. Maybe in my contract should have, instead of study thing, it should be the contents of your coffee.
Maybe so.
My nose tells me that's coffee. I can smell it from here. No. I'm a unsweet tea person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mix that. Ooh,
not a fan of the bubbly?
No.
Boobly or bubbly?
Bubbly.
It's the bubbly. Commercials have worked well. It's Michael Bubbly, right?
Yes.
Bublé?
Yes.
Bublé. Whatever.
Bublé. Big fan of the grapefruit.
We got a lot to get to with Teresa Walker throughout the next hour on the program. We'll look ahead to Titans training camp, get Teresa's thoughts on what she's looking for as the Titans are set to take the field tomorrow. Vrabel and J-Rob and Ryan Cowden speaking a little bit later today at Titans headquarters. Teresa, I do want to start on this, though. We talked to David Beauclair in the last hour. Just the life and legacy of Mark Howard. Obviously, a couple of days ago, some really tough news here in our city with the passing of Mark Howard. I know you had a really nice message on Twitter the other day that I saw about your interactions with Mark Howard in the past. Just I'll give you the floor to kind of say what you want to say about his life and his career here in Nashville.
Mark was just a consummate pro, and I had been an AP sports writer for a few years when the then Tennessee Oilers arrived in town, and I'm covering the first training camp out at Tennessee State. I had been covering Vanderbilt and ATP tennis and PGA and all sorts of things, but I had not been a true beat writer, and then I'm out there every single day. And, with the Associated Press, it's kind of like they throw you in the deep end of the pool. You just swim, and if you drown, then that's your fault. You have to figure things out. And one day, Mark came up to me and complimented a story that I'd written, and let's just say that was kind of the first words that I'd heard from anyone in the local media, of encouragement at that point. And it was like water on a dying cactus. And Mark just always treated me and trust me, back in the day I was the only woman in this market, and he always just treated me as one of the guys, and that you can't put a price on. And it that just helped so much, because I was just there doing my job like everybody else, and then Mark was just so much fun to talk to. He was with him and his son Jack. I had my son Lawson's about 3 or 4 years older than Jack, and we talked an awful lot about our sons over the years. And he was a great person to just talk to, whether it was movies or books or sports. I truly enjoyed the times we talked about our sons.
I think I wonder this bit of trivia, if you know this, because when Mark did the show in here a few months ago, he went to high school with the guy who played Mark Ratner in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Did you know that?
I did not know that, and that is absolutely tremendous. Because
it is, right?
Yeah, because, we talk, movies come up. I mean, you have a lot of time to kill while you're watching a football practice, and, that topic never came up, and I'm very sad that it didn't, because, Fast Times, it's a great movie.
Yeah, I mean, like I was obsessed with that for at least, like most of the show, I couldn't get over it.
Yeah,
it was just like, that's just
your
amazing
thing.
I mean, but even before Nashville, his career, just about anything you could put into a career was in his career.
He did it all, and he did it well, and he moved from TV to radio, and he just did it so seamlessly that I don't think people get just how tough it can be to move between mediums, and he did it and made it look incredibly easy. It's not that easy, folks. Mark just did it that very well.
He did, and it's been really cool to watch people tell their stories about him. And we've had a ton of texts, about the people's interactions with Mark Howard the last few days, and we'll continue to take those throughout the week here on the show as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Teresa Walker in with us here for the next hour. So, Teresa, with training camp being set to begin, I guess technically on the field tomorrow, A couple of things as we approach today with J-Rob and Rabel speaking that I guess you're, number one, interested to find out, and number two, that catches your eye about this Titans team heading into training camp.
Well, since the rookies had to report along with injured players and quarterbacks on Saturday, I want to know how Treylon Burks is looking. I mean, we'll look tomorrow and every day for the rest of this year to see what shape he is in, but I want to know what kind of shape he's in. My second topic is contract situations. I mean, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, the whole he was here, but he wasn't on the field during the mandatory minicamp. Are they trying to get a new deal done for Simmons before he steps on the field next? And then the third thing is, and this unfortunately will only be answered by time, Derrick Henry's foot.
Yeah, those are – see, I think that with Derrick Henry, you know, I don't know. I guess we'll see him in the sand pit probably, right? But – I mean, I think it looked fine, you know, in the spring. But that's a huge story for this season, of course.
Well, what did you make of what David threw out there earlier? So David, you know, wondered if there was a chance, if you're the Titans, based on the time that he missed last year, you know, he's been in one game since last October. Do you involve Derrick Henry a little bit more in training camp and in preseason? I don't know if David was quite hinting at, you know, playing three series in a preseason game or anything like that. But do you think Derrick Henry could be a little bit more active this time around in training camp?
I say no. You know what? He knows what to do in that offense with the ball. And, you know, some timing you can only get in a game.
Right.
Okay? And, you know, yes, there's going to be a new left guard, a new right tackle. But you can work that out on the practice field. You know, Derrick Henry, to me, is at a point in his career that you just don't pile up unnecessary carries.
Yeah, I'd be surprised too if we saw too much of that. I'm with you on both of the, you know, the Treylon Burks and the Jeffrey Simmons thing. We're going to be obviously watching every rep Treylon Burks takes. But Simmons, what do you think? Do you think that he's going to be out there participating, or is there going to be more hanging out in the building as a plan?
Well, and that's a great question, Joe. The only reason I think that he might be in the building until a deal is done is the fact that he was there but not on the field in the mandatory minicamp.
Yeah.
And we, you know, Terrell Williams told us he's healthy. So, you know, and, you know, but you watch Jeffrey Simmons. He's been so active, you know, giving money and getting a building named after him at his old high school. You know, he was on Twitter a couple days ago saying, can't wait till Thursday. And, you know, and maybe that's about a birthday.
Can't wait to do nothing.
Yes.
Well, and we're going to have to wait and see. But, you know, it just seems like, you know, what this franchise has done a good job under John Robinson is, you know, dealing with things before they become a problem. And, you know, yes, he's under contract through next year with that fifth-year option, but he's also a guy who only two tackles had better, more vote totals for All-Pro than Jeffrey Simmons, and this is a guy who just seems ready to explode. So, you know, the smart move is to get a deal done. The question is when.
Well, and I think if you're the Titans, that's the question you've got to answer. Because, look, obviously they want to get a long-term deal done with him. Do you break the mold and go ahead and do it now when you technically, I mean, you've got him this year. You got him fifth year next year, and you could franchise him a year after that. I mean, you've got him under your control for the next 3 years. Do you go ahead and break that mold now if you're the Titans with a guy like Jeffrey Simmons? I think Joe and I both agree that you probably do when special players come along. But there is the counter argument that some fans have thrown out there. Well, okay, well, every time you get a good player, are you going to renegotiate their deal after 3 years? I don't know if it necessarily has to be like this giant precedent setter, though, for the Titans. It's Jeffrey Simmons. How many first-round picks are you going to get like
right.
that?
When's the next Jeffrey Simmons coming along?
Ding, 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 ding. He is different. And let's look, you know, this is going to be the 26th season for this franchise in this town. You can put on one hand the guys who've been that special. You know, I'm thinking Javon Kearse, and unfortunately he had the injury back in the day. There was Eddie George, Steve McNair, Chris Johnson, and, you know, Derrick Henry. So maybe I'm going to have to go to a sixth finger with Jeffrey Simmons.
Is that the top six all-time Titans? Since you've been, I mean, I think you just gave us your top six all-time Titans since you've been covering.
I think I kind of did, because guess what? Those are the guys that you don't want playing for another team.
Exactly. And I think Jeffrey Simmons definitely falls in that category. So that's going to be interesting tomorrow. Gut feeling. Go ahead, Joe.
You know who you don't? You know who else you don't want playing for another team? A.J. Brown. Oh, too late.
Yeah, well, some relationships you just have to cut the bait and let them go.
Debo Samuel's
there
fine.
Are other
Debo Samuel and San Fran are fine. Okay, I'm just saying.
There's no new contract yet. We'll see how fine they actually are.
Well, I'm just saying that the whole recircling back to the whole A.J. Brown thing, it just feels like at a certain point he went into this with his agent, oh, we're going to get more money, we're going to renegotiate, and then maybe A.J. and Jalen Hurts started talking about, boy, wouldn't it be great if we played together? And sometimes I'm going to be careful what you wish for. We'll see how that works out in Philly.
I am very interested to see what his year looks like this year when it comes to Philadelphia. Teresa Walker in with us for the next hour here on Robbie and Rex Road. Looking ahead to Titans training camp, we'll take your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Miles joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Miles, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just getting guys. There's 30 million of you out there, gentlemen, who are suffering with some form of ED. 71% of you are not seeking any treatment. And, you know, I can see why. You know, for a long time it's been the pill, surgery, needles, and injections. Well, it's the future now, and we have a technology to get you over the hump of ED, and it's called acoustic wave therapy.
So, Miles, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
Well, it's heavily vetted technology. Over 60 independent clinical studies just on our website. Cambridge has studied this. So has the Cleveland Clinic. It's non-invasive, pain-free, and it's been called what should be the new standard of care for treatment of ED.
And you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
That's right. Give us a call. Hillside Medical Clinic, 615-576-5000. This morning you're going to get the exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound all for free, plus an additional gift that provides powerful results in the bedroom. We're ready to give it to you if you pick up the phone and call right now.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing Titans training camp. Our Titans training camp coverage brought to you by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Our midday show will be out at Titans training camp the next few days, starting tomorrow. So looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Teresa Walker in with us here for the rest of the 8 o'clock hour. So we're looking ahead to camp. And Teresa, we were talking about this earlier. There's the obvious storylines of Treylon Burks and the offensive line as well, which we've talked to you a lot about this offseason. Most people have spent a long time talking about that this offseason. How intrigued are you by the Malik Willis situation? You know, obviously not a competition with Tannehill, but that dynamic of how quickly he's coming along and maybe what a competition with Logan Woodside could look like with Malik Willis. How do you view that situation?
Well, that is the battle. It is for the backup job to Ryan Tannehill this year. And watching how quickly Malik Willis kind of came on during the offseason, I think it is a battle. And, you know, if you're going to have any chance of Malik Willis pushing Ryan Tannehill at all next year, he has to win that job as the number two. He's the guy who needs to be active on game day. And, I'm still not sure. They still love Logan Woodside. You know, Malik Willis, it feels like the athletic upside is there, you know, much higher than Logan Woodside. But Logan Woodside, the reason they love this young man is he knows what they want him to do with the ball. And that's the thing that I think Willis is going to have to overcome over the next month.
So you think Willis has to get the backup job to have a chance next year? Because I feel like he could still be under, you know, like redshirt year, but they just feel more comfortable with Woodside, but he could still make big strides in that way, you know?
I still think he needs to be the backup, you know, to be dressed on Sundays, to maybe get in and get some mop-up duty in garbage time, and just to have that experience of being ready on the sideline. You know, watching it and being, you know, dressed as opposed to being in street clothes, there is a difference. I don't care how much you're listening to the radio, that idea that one snap you could be in, that's a big one. You have to be better mentally prepared for that moment than just standing there and watching.
I'm interested to see. Go ahead.
I was going to say that's why. I mean, I think I agree with that premise, but that's why I think three quarterbacks is possible this year. I mean,
I do think they keep all three. I don't think, because here's the thing: even if Malik Willis earns the backup job, you cut Logan Woodside, he's going to be picked up somewhere. I mean, for God's sakes, they just signed Josh Rosen a few days ago. So, you know, Logan Woodside will get picked up by somebody. So I think they're going to be carrying three, and it's I haven't looked to see when the last time that was, but it's been a long time. Because you just it's not what NFL teams do anymore.
Doesn't happen much.
What's really going to be interesting to me, and we threw out this scenario earlier, number one, I think it would speak really well of Malik Willis and the camp he has if this happens. But if it's really close with him and Woodside, which way do they lean in terms of the backup quarterback? And I guess what I mean by that is, like, does Malik Willis have to come in and clearly be better than Logan Woodside? Or if it's close, do you give the nod to the young guy? Does Logan Woodside clearly have to be better? How much does Logan Woodside's experience in the system play into all this? I'm really fascinated to see how it kind of breaks down from that standpoint with Vrabel and Robinson and that decision-making process that they'll have to go through.
I'll say this. I don't think we truly find out who the backup really will be until the first game against the Giants when they turn in the inactives and we see who's actually dressed that day.
They may
put Logan Woodside as the number two on the backup on the in the notes to us, but it may be Malik Willis who dresses that day. So stay tuned. This could go a while. And great questions. I mean, Logan Woodside, I think he does have to see if there's anything else he can squeeze out in his game and be better, because Malik Willis, we saw it at Liberty. Now, the problem is, can he do that at this level, especially once the pads get on? Does he start swimming? How does he handle the joint practices with the Cardinals and the Patriots? That's going to be all part of the equation. And if he can handle all that, then, the fun thing, though, is we're talking about the backup position.
Yeah.
And, if he can win that, then we'll just have to see how Ryan's year is to see where they go from there.
Yeah, I do think the reps will tell some of the story too, right? Like what kind of work is he getting compared with Woodside? But yeah, I mean, look, this preseason is just more interesting because we have a Malik Willis story.
Yeah,
especially the preseason games, which are quickly becoming just totally irrelevant. But Malik Willis, watching some of them.
Yeah.
And hopefully he does a lot of things. We love how he talks to us. He's a great talker, so we love that. Now we just need to see if he can play as well as he talks.
So sticking with the quarterbacks, obviously it's been an eventful offseason for Tannehill, especially with just, the last time we saw him and what a disaster it was in the Cincinnati game. There's the mentor gate comments that we've gone through this offseason. You've drafted Malik Willis if you're the Titans. There's a lot on his shoulders heading into this year. Where do you think he's at right now in terms of his headspace heading into this season and what he knows is going to be an important year for him and his future here? And also, your best weapon, at least catching the ball from last year, is now gone in A.J. Brown.
My gut feeling is that he's a competitor, and I think he is driven in part by what happened against Cincinnati to come back and show that he can be a better quarterback, that he can be the guy that they need to help them. And I heard some of the conversation coming in about all the tears and stuff. John Elway got to a lot of Super Bowls. He didn't win one until it was late in his career, okay? Dan Marino made it to one. So for the folks saying that you're only gauged by what you do in the postseason, no, not really. I mean, that's what people are remembered by. Brett Favre, you could count, he had more losses in championship games than he did, one Super Bowl win. So
let's keep talking about how much he blew it in the clutch.
Rodgers.
He did it with the Packers. He did it with the Vikings. I mean, talk about a quarterback wilting in the clutch. I mean, hello, Brett Favre. So
this has gone off the rails quickly.
Sorry. How are you, Robbie?
We're going here.
Sorry, Robbie.
Woo-hoo.
It just feels like watching Tannehill in the offseason program, it just feels like he was there and he bared his soul to us about the deep scars and all that he had. But it just feels that he seems to be, from my viewpoint, taking ownership and saying he's going to be doing everything he possibly can to get this team back in position to where they were a year back in January, and then all eyes will be on him to see how he handles it.
Yeah. If he gets there, Then we'll finally get to the point of, okay, we can judge Tannehill. The thing is, I think he's going to play well. I guess have a good year to me kind of depends on a lot of other factors. Right?
Around him, yeah.
I mean, we haven't talked yet about the offensive line. By the way, have we gotten you? Have we gotten your starting offensive line? Have we gotten Teresa's starting offensive line?
I think we did, but it was a long time ago.
All right, we'll give you the latest version, 2.0.
Taylor Lewan, Jamarco Jones, Ben Jones, Nate Davis, and then Dylan Radins. And I'm going to circle
you real sound quick. Very confident in those five choices.
I do.
Okay. I mean, I think that could definitely happen.
Hey.
I think that was the same one I had.
Dylan Radins was drafted to be a starter. He was a second-round pick. It's his time to earn that job. And if anybody slacks, particularly at the tackle spots, there's Nicholas Petit-Frere, who I think we're all curious to see what he does once he gets into pads. But Taylor Lewan, to me, is going to be the guy that drives that offensive line. He's healthy. You know, how many times did he talk to us in June about how a year ago he couldn't run, that the whole season last year was just a grind, trying to survive to get to Sunday, get through the games, and now he's healthy. And by the way, he's a smart enough young guy that even though he's now declaring himself off Twitter for the season, we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, do we believe that?
I don't. I'm not buying. I'll take the under.
Yeah.
But
he'll be lurking, looking at Jared's tweets.
He understands that he's playing for his future with this team and in the league himself, and he's equally driven to go out and prove what they can do.
Someone on the text line, unnamed, says, do you think there's a chance Titans sign a new free agent for left guard or right tackle? Eric Flower is still out there. I do not think so. What do you think?
I agree. Why bring in somebody else at this point? You might pick up somebody if there's an injury or if somebody gets cut in the final cuts, bring them in to help round out the bottom. But at this point, I think they know what they've got, and they're going to go see what they've got in that group before they add anyone else.
We'll continue to talk Titans. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press in studio with us until 9 o'clock. We'll get into the defensive side of the ball coming up next. How good does Teresa think this Titans defense can be heading into the season? We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, Teresa Walker from the Associated Press in with us for the next 30 minutes. Looking ahead to Titans training camp, which I guess technically begins today, but on the field tomorrow for Titans training camp. So we've hit on a few spots on the offensive side of the football. Let's switch gears to defense because, Teresa, it's really amazing to think about. This time last year, we were looking at the defense and thinking, I just don't know about that. And now, heading into this season, most people expect the defense to be the strength of the team. You got the pass rush, which was electrifying to end the season last year. Linebacking with David Long Jr., who nobody else around the league seems to have any clue who that is. And then Zach Cunningham as well. You know, there's the question about Caleb Farley and that, I guess, third corner spot out there with the Titans. But I do wonder, from your vantage point, looking ahead to this team, how good do you think this defense can be for this Titans team heading into this year?
I think this defense can be top five. I mean, and that's not a huge leap from last year. I mean, they were sixth in scoring last year. They've got to, you know, Mike Vrabel made it very, very clear after the playoff game, they've got to get more turnovers. That's probably the area that they have to get most improved at. But, you know, again, you go into this with 10 of the 11 starters from that playoff game are available and on this team. And, you know, I love to look at all some of these national, you know, pundits and such, and, oh, they're going to be worse. Why?
Yeah.
You know, Harold Landry, he can't do what he did last year. Well, Bud Dupree, he told us the one time he felt himself was the playoff game. And they got 9 sacks that day. So you've got, you know, the only NFL team to have at least 3 different players with 8 sacks apiece. You know, Kevin Byard, all pro. You know, Monty Hooker, the reason they're looking at maybe an extension for him at some point is because he really played well last year. Now, you know, they don't know about David Long. Well, Zach Cunningham's not an unknown figure, but it feels like people outside of Nashville are looking, well, he's a little tarnished. You know, Houston got rid of him. Why? And it's like, well, hello, wouldn't you want out of Houston?
I would.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's fair to look at that whole situation and be like, yeah, maybe you don't want to. Obviously,
I don't love the way he handled it.
Yeah,
but
agree.
I don't blame anyone for getting out of Houston last year.
See, I'd rip the National. Well, we have a fair amount anyway. I'd rip them more if I didn't think the defense would suck a year ago and was totally wrong.
That's true.
You know, and I thought the offense would be like generationally good. So it's this team has been so. I mean, you've covered this team the whole time, Teresa. I feel like this team has been so dramatic in its swings in the last few years. Terrible offense in 2019 to amazing offense in the same year. And then the offense-defense seesaw going on. So, I don't know, maybe there's something really unpredictable about to happen with this
Could
team
be.
This year?
Well, there has been kind of a roller coaster. I will point to the fact that on defense, the coaching staff has largely stayed intact. You know, Shane Bowen now is going into his third full year, second with the coordinator title. You know, Jim Schwartz, we all thought would get another job somewhere else. He's back. So you have continuity.
For whatever that means.
Exactly. We don't know. And yes, we keep asking to talk to him and the new passing game coordinator, Tim Kelly. Have not got that. Keep pushing, though, because we won't stop. But it just feels like they've got a chance to build some stability here. A year ago, yeah, we all thought that I'll say this. Last year, I thought, you know, yes, the defense had been bad, didn't know what it would be, but they changed so many people last year. There was no way that it could be as bad because, God, it would have been, I mean, you know, they were already in the floor, you know, especially on third down defense. So, you know, for the offense, I think that they do have a chance to, I think that's the area where they bounce back. Why? Yes, we still need to see what Robert Woods can do and Austin Hooper and Chigga Kwankwo and, you know, Taylor Burks is the huge question mark. But those are four guys that are better than anything aside from A.J. Brown that they had last year. I'll take those four guys with the question marks on Robert Woods' knee over what we saw out of Julio Jones, Anthony Firkser, and no offense, Jeff Swaim's back, but he's a number three tight end, and they needed him too many times last year to be a one or a two. He wasn't that. So I think Ryan Tannehill's got more talent around him. And then, oh, yeah, the reason the offense kind of dropped last year, Derrick Henry missed nine games.
Okay, but more talent around him with A.J. Brown gone. I'm gonna disagree
yes.
with you.
That's fine. And I'll just say this. Remember, you know, one thing that Mike Vrabel said as soon as the season was over, that wrap-up day, they have to be better around Ryan Tannehill. And I think that it's at this point they are better around him. Now, is Treylon Burks going to be A.J. Brown? We'll see. You know, let's see if A.J. Brown is A.J. Brown in
Can
Philly.
Treylon Burks take a rep in camp?
Can he do consecutive
question.
Days? The bar is low right now with Treylon Burks. Can he be out there for an entire practice? Can he do consecutive drill periods? Can he come back and do consecutive days in practice? Can he do a whole week? So right now the bar is very, very low for Treylon Burks, but the expectations once the season starts are going to be very high because he's the guy that has to replace A.J. Brown in some form and fashion, if only because of his status.
Well, I think the defense plays into that because I agree with you, Teresa. I think the defense has a chance to be really good. Like I think it has a chance to be a top five defense as well. And if it is, well, what does that mean? And what does it mean for the offense? Like how good does the offense have to be if you have an elite defense out there on the other side? Because, you know, you can have a really good defense in today's NFL and the rules are just geared toward the offense. And that's the interesting part to try to figure out, and you look at some of the quarterbacks that are on their schedule, Josh Allen, Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott. I mean, the list, Justin Herbert, the list goes, they're going to play some elite level quarterbacks this year. So I think their defense can be really good. The question is how good with that schedule with some of the quarterbacks that they're going to be playing against, and what does that mean for the offense? What's the baseline they have to get to in order to play complimentary football, as they like to say.
Butch Jones.
There we go.
It's great. I think they have to be top 10 in scoring and maybe closer to top 5 in scoring because if the defense is doing what you'd like to see them do, which is getting the ball back to the offense,
right.
They're going to have shorter fields, and that should make it easier for them. I mean, you know, the thing that seemed to kill them so much last year is how many times were they backed up, not just at their 20, but inside their 20, and starting drives. It's tough to go 80 and 90 yards in the NFL on a regular basis. No matter how many times we've seen Derrick Henry rip off a long run, you need to have shorter fields. And that's where I think the defense can help the offense this year. And again, with Okwankwo and Hooper, those are the two guys that I think can really help Ryan Tannehill the fastest.
I agree with Hooper. Okonkwo is interesting. I do think back to like Jonnu Smith, who I still think is a tremendous talent. And how
well, Joe thinks he's going in the Hall of Fame one day.
Al, you don't know that he isn't.
That's true.
But you know, early on in his career, the first couple of years,
what's he in Joe's coffee?
Well, we have not confirmed yet.
Well, I still need to go back to your hatred of AJ Brown. I think one thing we're figuring out today is that you hate AJ Brown.
It's not hatred. It's just he took advantage of some business and played some things. And, you know, I'm going to point out the fact that, yes, he was 10th in the NFL last year with 6 drops. I mean, think back with me now. I mean, he had a drop in that playoff game, right? He had a couple other key drops.
Yes, he definitely is not perfect.
No, he isn't. Nobody's perfect.
We had a caller calling one time, said he had a 68% drop radius. It's
that's
like
right.
68%
of balls. Was that actually your burner, Teresa? All right, hold on. I want to
ask
you
this. I had 2 phones, but that's not my burner.
So you covered this team the entire time.
Yes.
You just listed, I think, the top 6 players that you've covered, right? I mean, without saying this is a list, I mean, basically it makes sense.
It kind of was a list, yeah.
Yeah. So A.J. Brown and the list of receivers that you've covered, covering the Tennessee Titans.
Derek Mason, for me, is at the top.
Okay.
Because he was, you know, he kind of went between the running Titans and then when they started finally letting Steve McNair pass the ball.
Yeah.
And he did some amazing things for this franchise with the ball and his special teams, you name it. And plus, he did it for more than 3 years.
No question.
Well, I don't think Derek Mason being number one is even arguable anymore. Like, if A.J. would have stuck around longer, then yeah.
Although I could this could still be like the QB tier thing where it's like Justin Herbert, you could be talking pure talent. But no. I mean, Derek Mason won, not controversial. And then
Derek Mason should be, you know, at some point working his way up the semifinalist list for the Hall of Fame, but based on what he did in his career. But for A.J., great 3-year period. And I would put him as the second receiver behind that because Kendall Wright had a 1,000-yard season and then just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one.
No, and
so that's my question is it's not easy to find these guys.
No.
Right?
And that's what made it so, you know, so painful and so stunning but when a guy doesn't want to be here and when he says, you know, that whole scenario, you know, from talking to people, he went from wanting the contract and it's like, well, let's start negotiations. And then they give a number and, ooh, the number that comes back is way in the next county. It's like, you know, they're talking Brentwood or Franklin and suddenly he goes Bell Mead on them, okay? And that's the problem. It's like, ooh, baby. And then he just simply says, trade me. I mean, some relationships can't be salvaged, and to me, it's like when I break up. I've been married almost 26 years, but when I would have dates and stuff, when I broke up with somebody, you don't exist anymore. And for me, that's where it is with AJ Brown. He didn't want to be here. He wants to go play.
You didn't
with
actually kill people.
No. But you know, I'm never talking to you
a
again.
Dark segment here on the Robbie and Rex Road.
That's what we do here on this program.
You cease to exist in my world.
That's right. That's right.
But every woman knows what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But to that point, like we've spent so much time talking about Treylon Burks being out of shape, and I get it. Like we need to see him get through a practice. I understand all that, but I think what's gotten lost in this is he's a pretty darn good player in college football. Like he was a stud at Arkansas. So if that's what he is at the NFL level, I'm feeling pretty good about the Titans this year. I just don't. We'll have to see if that's what he is.
AP All-SEC last year. I mean, there was so much attention on the receivers at Alabama. It was almost like, well, wait a minute. No. There was the kid from Arkansas, and that, you know, that was Treylon Burks. So he's had, you know, since the middle of May to get himself ready for training camp, and we'll see what he can do. And, you know, trust me, as hard as everybody outside has been on him, got to think that they're making it clear inside that building. Young man, get to work.
I would think so.
I agree.
615-737-1025. We'll wrap things up with Teresa Walker coming up next on the other side. More of your thoughts on the Titans as well on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, Teresa Walker in with us here as well. Talking Titans, looking ahead to training camp beginning this week. So football is back. It's a good time of year to be talking about some Titans football. 615-737-1025, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dennis on the text line says, it's awesome having Teresa in studio. We agree. What does she think Tannehill's touchdown/interception ratio should be for the Titans to win the South again. So he did have a little bit of a problem with the interceptions last year. Number one, do you expect that to be cut down again this year? And what do you think that sort of ratio needs to look like for Tannehill this year?
I'm not going to do the percentage, but I'm thinking 30 TDs, 10 interceptions. And trust me, that's still a very touchy subject.
It is.
We had the court, you know, some of the coaches out, and I tried to ask what they've been doing to address the interceptions, and I was told we've moved on, essentially. So, yeah, that's last year. So
I don't know if you know this, but each interception has a story of its own. That's what we learned last year, I think.
Especially the one with 20 seconds left. So, yeah, sometimes it's okay to throw away a ball.
Yeah, it is.
If Tannehill throws 30 touchdowns this year with that receiving core, I will eat banana pudding every day for a week after he reaches
30. Well, is that a punishment?
17 games,
yes, it's vicious punishment.
You have problems.
Okay, you're crazy.
Problems!
Wait, in which way am I crazy? I mean, you're not wrong, but I'm just like, that's when I get it specified.
Banana pudding is amazing.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
You're outruled.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, all right, okay. I know we have football to talk about. All right, I'm going to ask you this. Banana pudding is ranked what on your list of? So I'm going to give you cheesecake. I'm going to give you cherry pie, apple pie, any kind of brownie sundae, like any dessert you can think of. Key lime pie. Where's banana pudding rank on your dessert list?
It's in the top 10. I mean,
10. Okay.
I'm not.
You're sitting there acting like it's not the top 45.
It would be gross as hell to eat every day.
Gracious.
Joe, come on.
Hey, then I haven't had 30
touchdowns.
Banana pudding.
30 touchdowns.
Yeah.
17 so we're going to do that now. 30 touchdowns, 17 games for Tannehill, banana pudding every day.
Yes. Now, hopefully, you will bring in this amazing, magical banana pudding.
Yeah,
you say that is so great. Maybe it'll be an easy week.
Well, maybe so.
30 and 10, that'd be a big year for Tannehill.
Well,
it's 1.76 touchdowns per game.
Yeah. I mean, look, he had.
It's not a lot.
He had 14 picks last year. It was a problem. I mean, he was, and that was before you got to the playoffs.
What do you have, 19 TDs, 14 picks?
Yeah, 21 touchdowns
last year. The greatest offense ever assembled.
And he had 35 in 2020 with Corey Davis and, that guy, A.J. Brown.
33, right? 33-7?
33-7, yeah.
Well, there you go, 33-7.
But that's a big year.
It was a big year, but, I'm just saying that I think
that was also 16 games. There's 17 games now.
That's a good point. If he gets to 30, then this team will run away with the AFC South.
Really?
I believe. Yeah, I think so. With this defense, I think so.
Guys, I keep going back to last year, and I know each game, each season is different, each team is different. But
each interception?
91 different players last year. If this team is only half as healthy, or half as hurt as it was last year, then, how can that not translate more onto the team when you're literally not signing a guy on Wednesday and having him start a game on Sunday?
I think that's a great point because that's not really something we've talked about because I remember having basically the same conversation last year but about the pass rush heading into the season of, yes, there were all these questions about the defense last year, but, Joe, the one thing we kept going back to was there's no way they're going to be as bad rushing the passer as they just were. It's not possible. Like, you can't be as bad as they were just rushing the passer. And, I mean, I guess I kind of feel the same way about injury. Like, if they're in that bad a shape injury-wise again and they're that bad luck with injuries again, I'll be shocked. Like, they have to be healthier this year than they were last year.
You would think so.
Now, the question is, what about key positions? Because Tannehill has not been hurt since he took over starting quarterback.
Jinx.
Yeah. So that's what you got to worry about.
Remember the moment Robbie got Tannehill hurt in week 4.
8:51 Tuesday the 26th.
Yeah. Well, then the Malik Willis show can start, I guess. We'll see what happens.
Well, that's an interesting – I mean, we've talked about that. What if Tannehill's hurt? Obviously, we don't know the status of Malik Willis against Logan Woodside, but let's say it's the same thing. Woodside's more – trustworthy game manager guy, but Malik Willis maybe gives you a little bit higher ceiling.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, are you really committed to that new gig? there would be calls made. I'm just saying.
He knows how to tighten up.
Wes in Clarksville says 30 touchdowns will be easy. I just don't know about the picks. This is coming from Wes in Clarksville.
30 touchdowns is not easy.
But I said 10 interceptions, so that kind of splits the difference. What he had last year was more than double what he had the two previous years combined.
That is correct.
So in 2019 he had 6, in 2020 he had 7. So I'm being kind of generous and saying, yeah, he's going to have a couple more picks than he did, but you know, with 10. So again, 17 games.
Yeah, I think 10. Well, 10 picks would be fine, and I could see that for sure. I don't know. I mean, Treylon Burks can change this conversation a lot, right? I mean, to me, Treylon Burks can change this because, as Robbie said, the guy, we know he can play. Guy was a stud in the SEC last year. If he isn't ready, I mean, like Robert Woods, he's a good player, but how good is Robert? Like, how dangerous?
I think Robert Woods they'll get more out of Robert Woods than they got out of Julio Jones last
year. I think significantly more than they got out of Julio.
I can see that. Yeah,
and Hooper and Kwankwo, that's more than they got out of the entire tight end group last year.
Well, the Hooper part of this is interesting because everybody is – they're raving about Austin Hooper throughout minicamp. He's a clear upgrade over Anthony Firkser last year. I mean, it's not even the same ballpark. How effective can he be? And what sort of a red zone weapon does he turn into for Tannehill? That's to me a big question about what their offense is going to look like.
And if he gets about 10, then your 30 looks a lot better.
It sure does.
To me, he's going to be kind of like the third wide receiver, even though he's the tight end. Just, you know, that's what I'm thinking.
So we still just no discussion of NWI. An entire hour in the studio, and I have to bring it up.
Well, we could.
That really hurts, Teresa.
We could do the whole show on NWI.
I know your love for him, and I will say this. It's impressive to watch that young man play, and he does just get better, and he just keeps making sure that he's in this conversation. To me, he is kind of the third wide receiver. He's behind Robert Woods and Treylon Burks, then there's NWI, and then I've got Josh Malone as number 4 on my group of wide receivers, and then Kyle Phillips, and then we're going to see who battles for that 6th spot.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting because we talked about this earlier, Teresa. I mean, I remember halfway through training camp last year, we talked to you about it. I mean, pretty much everybody we had on talked about this being the deepest wide receiver group at training camp that they could remember. And I look at it this year, and you've got Burks, you've got Woods, you've got NWI. And after that, I don't know. You've drafted Kyle Phillips. I like Josh Malone. I really liked him at Tennessee. But there's a lot of question marks with this receiver group after those first three in terms of just purely making the roster at that point.
Robbie, last year we thought we knew what we were getting.
That's
unfortunately
true.
Julio Jones was not Julio Jones of Atlanta. He was he's not signed with anybody at this point, has he?
He has not.
But what we do know is, you know, Rob Moore has been raving about Josh Malone. And, yes, need to see what he does once the pads come on. But anybody who remembers him from Tennessee thought that he'd have a chance maybe to play at this level. So sometimes the situation comes and he's just – it feels like this is the moment for him to grab that opportunity. And it's fun watching him on the practice field. So NWI and, you know, I'll just say this. Again, I do think that there's better targets overall for Ryan Tannehill in this offense than there was a year ago.
Andrew on the text line says, Robert Woods absolutely has a better statistical year than AJ did last year. This is coming from Andrew.
Oh, than AJ
on
did.
On the text line.
Okay.
Well, okay, that's 63 catches, 869 yards, 5 touchdowns. Do you think Robert Woods can surpass that?
Yeah, I think he can do that.
I think he can do yards-wise. I'm not so sure about catches, but I'll just say this. If that happens, then that's your insurance policy, and then what you get from Treylon Burks will be gravy.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, the ACL, number one, I think it's really good news for the Titans that both he and Caleb Farley are not on PUP to begin training camp. I mean, it doesn't tell you everything, but that's a pretty good start for them in their training camp.
I'll just say this as a word of caution. You know, Taylor Lewan played last year, Bud Dupree played last year, and then we hear them this year saying, I struggled through last year because getting over that ACL is tough. So that keep that as a grain of salt.
I think that's a good point.
Who's the most annoying Nashville media member?
Joe Rexroad?
You take me and Kaharski out of the equation.
Wow.
I guess Jared, too. I'm going to list all the
Well, you can't
people.
Just take away everybody.
Yeah. Just answer the question. Yeah.
Well, you took out the ones I'd probably name. So, I mean, at this point, I mean, you know, from what I've heard,
deep.
You and I agree on everything, apparently, allegedly. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So.
Oh, we're all just a big team. We're conspiring against PK.
We just have each other's backs.
Yes.
So.
I loved when you got after him on Twitter. That was great.
Great stuff.
I just, I Yeah, some things can't stand.
Let's go over there and just throw them in a trash can today. What do you say?
Okay.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Teresa, really appreciate you joining us for this hour, looking ahead to Titans training camp, and I'm sure we'll talk to you very soon.
My pleasure. Thank you guys for having me. Come on in.
Absolutely. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans as well, 615-737-1025. We'll get to some of Diana Russini's comments on Treylon Burks and what this could mean for him as training camp on the field opens up tomorrow. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.